Let us talk to Lisa Stroman, whom today, is speaking to us in her capacity as having been a visiting scholar with the FBI. She spent some time with them training and working with the FBI. And Lisa, thank you for joining us.
Well, happy to be here.
So Lisa is an attorney, a psychologist, and an FBI visiting scholar. And she was working, Mike, tell her what you were working with. I don't think you've ever told Mike this. It freaked me out when you told me. Go ahead, Lisa.
With the Bureau?
Yeah, what you were studying there.
So I originally was an honors intern working on homicidal pedophilia with the CASCU unit, which is a child abduction serial killer unit.
Great.
It gets better.
And then at the time, Louis Free was the director, and we had a conversation, and he asked if I would do my dissertation research on infant abduction because women were being abducted and fetuses removed from their bodies. So he wanted to curtail that.
So hold on. So Mike, you have to make sure you hear what Lisa says, because for her it's so matter of fact. Women were being abducted and their babies cut out of their body, and the Louis Free thought we had to curtail that.
Yeah.
We had to knock that
Lisa,
down.
Lisa, did you ever just take a step back and go, gosh, I'm so happy I have such an uplifting life. I have such a happy, positive world that I've surrounded myself with.
Well, I do. I have a happy, uplifting life. I don't have to live in that world anymore, which is nice.
But she was so, and women were doing this to explain why they would do this. It wasn't just they wanted to kill babies.
Right. So it was based on resource allocation. So at the time, many of these women were trying to hang on to men in relationships. I guess this goes into Mike's theory and what happens between women. But basically, they didn't want to lose money. And so they, and the resources that the men were bringing, and didn't want the relationship to end. And so they would fake a pregnancy and say, well, I'm pregnant. You can't leave me now. And the men would stay.
Can you imagine this? It's crazy.
They had to. Yeah, panic would ensue. They'd start eating a lot. Some of them wore pillows. You know, I mean, it was, yeah.
I kind of support the chick who wears the pillow.
Isn't that something? So let's float back to Comey here. I'm sure you've heard all the testimony and all the...
I was listening this morning, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of reporting of both sides going on. My question is, what did you think of what Comey said about the lies perpetrated about his relationship with the rank and file?
What did I think about it?
Well, in other words, I heard that the rank and file was deeply upset by his firing and deeply upset by these distortions of how he was perceived by the rank and file, and he was sort of setting the record straight. Am I right, or did you perceive it differently?
No, I think that that's accurate. I think that you know, if you want to back up a couple of steps and how he got himself into this position, is that, you know, you have a director of the FBI who really is not immediately underneath the president. There's somebody in between the two of them. They're supposed to be separate from the executive branch in many ways and outside of influence. And I think that as Comey, and you have to remember, too, there's a couple of things here. You have a legitimate authority power of the president who has all of this influence and credibility. And then you have the FBI agent or FBI director who's basically an administrative role who has authority and credibility of his own with expertise and trustworthiness and integrity that is required from that job. And what I saw happening is that Comey was looking at and being influenced from his perception. So this is kind of the psychology of influence. But he was being influenced by somebody that he had above him as an authority figure. And he was reading into that, you know, President Trump didn't say do X, Y, and Z. President Trump said, I expect loyalty, or I expect these things. And Comey said, this is how I heard it from him. So there's a lot of things that I think that Comey did to hang on to his integrity and his authority. And that's why this personal memo was written, because at that time with Flynn and all these other things that had happened, I think he said, I need to have a chronology that protects me for my reputation and my career and my credibility. That's what I think happened.
And I imagine there are, you know, tons of training in the FBI about documentation. I mean, it's like a medical record. You know, things don't happen or haven't happened unless they're written down. And once they're written down, that's what happened, which, by the way, is not true either.
Right. Well, and this is very, this is important for, I think, the public to know that Comey said, I wrote down a, quote, personal memo. I took down to remember the conversation for myself so that I would not. It wasn't official. It wasn't a document that was prepared for and on behalf of the FBI. He called it a personal memo. But James Comey knows very well that historically in law and in the courts, personal memos by people in the FBI and in administration are looked at in nearly the same capacity as an official memo. So he can say that, but he knows very well that it is actually going to be taken as official documentation.
We have to take a quick break. We're talking to Dr. Lisa Stroman. Technology Wellness Center is where you, oh, I beg your pardon, the digitalcitizenacademy.org, digitalcitizenacademy.org. It's Talk Radio 790 KBC.